Sermon, St. Helena, California, August 11, 1906. I want to give you some reasons why we are here this morning, on the seventh day of the week. Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3 quoted. We read in the 19th chapter of Exodus some verses. Exodus 19, verse 1 to 3 quoted. Now that is for the Israel of God just as long as they shall live upon the earth. Verse 4 quoted. That is how the Egyptians followed Israel after Israel had been delivered from bondage by the miracles and the signs and the judgments which God had wrought. Notwithstanding, after Israel was delivered, the Egyptians took the whole army and went after them to bring them back again. That is what Moses refers to. Here they crossed the sea, and the Egyptians went hard after them, but Israel got safely over to the bank, and then it was that whole wall of water that stood congealed, as it were, overflowed them, and they were destroyed, every one of them, Pharaoh and his host. Verse 5 quoted. Now God is going to tell them, after accomplishing this great thing for them, what he will continue to do for them. Who is he? The great, mighty ruler over the heavens and over the earth. The God of heaven, the great controller. What shall we call him? The highest power, the highest knowledge, the infinite. Then what shall we do? He tells us. Verse 6 quoted. In verse 5, we have the conditions. Verses 6 to 9 quoted. Exodus 20, verse 1 to 3 quoted. That is the word of God. It is the word of the living God. Verses 4 to 8 quoted. To keep it holy. We are trying to do it here. That is why we are here, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Verses 10, 11 quoted. What does that mean? That the world has taken the liberty, not given to any power under heaven, to change the law of God in regard to his Sabbath. It is in defiance of God that this is done. Verses 12 to 21 quoted. Now the Lord still converses with Moses and gives him the law of right between one and another, how they shall treat one another, all through the chapter after he has given the line that they should follow in dealing with one another. What is justice? What is mercy? What is necessity? Suppose men recognized God and were obedient to his commandments. What did he give these commandments for? It was to preserve them in their integrity, that humanity should be in unison with divinity. That is the reason for his giving his commandments. And he tells them that it will be a blessing unto them, that he will keep them and hold them and protect them. Do you think if these commandments had been carried out by the human family that we should have realized the terrible calamity that has come upon San Francisco? God could not bear with their sin any longer. Again and again the warnings have come, and out of his word, if they will only read his word. The word is given us to obey. We are to become familiar with it. Let the magazines, let the novels, let these books go. But when you come to the Bible, that is the word of the living God, which shall justify you or which shall condemn you. Now to every soul that claims to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was given to us that we might have a representative of God upon the earth, a representative of his kindness, his goodness, his mercy, and his love. Christ was given, and there was the promise that God would make them as priests and kings unto himself if they would obey his commandments. Yet all that promise was from whom and from what? The higher education. It was from one that was giving them the highest education that human beings could have on the face of the earth. Now that is the education that we all want, the education of obedience. If they had obeyed the law of God, the first world would not have been swept away. And there was one that was translated to heaven without seeing death, to let all know that there was such a thing as these beings on the face of the earth, to know of their being translated and of their seeing heaven without death. There are some that will be on the earth when Christ shall come. Well, we want to know what we must do to escape all these things that are given us for a warning in God's word. Is it men that have property? Is it men that have the expensive and large buildings that are considered the nobility of earth? It is the character, not the building, but it is the character building. If we have a character that is after the divine similitude, the Lord can converse with us, and he will send us messengers in love to us. What is the matter with us that we have so much affliction in our world? because men and women will do just as they please. They will have the saloons open in the cities. They know just what they do. They know just the evil that will proceed from these open saloons. They know that it is making drunkards, and families are ruined, and poor drunkards take their drinks, and they are mad. They act like madmen. They do not know what they are about when they are drunk. And the officers, and the great men, and the powerful men, they put them in office. What will God do with these men? Will they enter into the abodes of bliss? God help us to understand that it is best for us to be temperate in all things. What we want is the deep moving of the Spirit of God upon the human heart. What we want is to love God with all our heart. Now I want to read a little further. I want now to come to Deuteronomy 4. Is there any Israel here? Yes, there is. Verses 1, 2 quoted, which I command you. He does not give it to you as a curse. He gives it to you as a way that you can escape the curse of all sin, and that you may be righteous to stand before him, and that you may be holy, and that you may be happy, and that you may have communion with God, and you can know that he is your God, and that you are his children. Verses 2, 3 quoted. Why? And they became so self-sufficient that they thought they could carry all Israel without Moses, without Aaron, or anyone that had charge of them. Therefore they got up a counter-influence and went to work, and in that counter-influence came their destruction. The earth swallowed them up. Verse 4 quoted. Now where is the issue? Will we consider that it is of some value to cleave to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who created man, who is the owner of the universe, the owner of all heaven? There is no power that can be equal and above his. What power could come in and save San Francisco from the wrath of an infinite God? It is no use to call it anything else but the disregard of God's law. Verses 5, 6 quoted. Keep therefore and do them. Let us see. Does that make them false? Does that make them so Israel cannot understand anything, that they will be so foolish that they cannot make anything of themselves here in this world or in the future world? Verse 6 quoted. In the sight of the nations. Now they are not afraid to stand in obedience to God in the sight of all the nations around them. Finish verse 6 quoted. What is the matter? We have got hold of the higher education. We are in the school to learn of God and His heavenly requirements, and we can have the highest education that ever can be given to any mortals upon the face of the earth. So it is best for us not to separate from God. Verse 7 quoted. These words were frequently repeated to them as they were being led through the wilderness. There was Christ our Redeemer in the pillar of cloud, and all the directions he was giving to the people, first to Moses, next to Joshua. They were leading the people under heaven's direction and command. And the blessings we ask him for in obedience we shall have. Verses 8, 9 quoted. Here it comes from father to son, and thus it is for generations. Verse 10 quoted. Now, here is the education. It is to pass from parents to their children, and we are to educate them strictly in observance of the very day that we observe today. Verses 11 to 14 quoted. Now, this belongs unto every human being that is here today, that you are to take heed to your individual selves. Verses 15, 16 quoted. Now, here is the commandment of God. And it is repeated here. They asked that they might not hear the words. It thrilled them so, and they said, Deuteronomy 5, verse 25 quoted. We see it. There is an unbelief there. Verses 22 to 33 quoted. What kind of a nature have people had, to come in and put aside the Sabbath day, and to take another day that has no sanctity whatever, and to put that in as the Sabbath? And they are not satisfied with that, if everybody that is very conscientiously observing the Sabbath day. And they are expending all the property they have from place to place, and in heathen nations, nations of all tongues. Now, how is this? Here it is something that is to counterwork God. It is the work of the fallen angel that set to work to counterwork the works of God in the heavenly courts. Now, every one of us, let us bear in mind that we observe the word of our God. That is the higher education. Everything else that you may produce to call the higher education is a step away from God. It is departing from God, and that is why San Francisco lies in ruins today. It was because they departed from God, and He could not preserve them. He wanted other cities to take heed. He wanted other cities to inquire why this calamity should come upon San Francisco. The matters there have been open to me for years. What wickedness there was in that city, you never will know. They went to such wickedness, such horrible wickedness, and they were destroyed, these wicked ones, many of them, but not all. Some were left. Will they take heed? Will they consider? We have a message to bear to them. We are not to talk of the higher education. We have got one. He have a high teacher, and we mean to obey that teacher. We want to do honor to our God. We want to obey Him, and we want to glorify His name upon the earth. Matthew 19, verse 16, 17 quoted. Then He tells them it is for the hardness of their heart. But if they had kept the commandments of God, they would have lived in harmony and peace and love, and these differences would not have taken place. It is because of the disregard of God's commandments that the world is rushing right on to their last ruin. And God wants that we should warn the people, that they should avoid the wrath of God. He wants us to keep the commandments of God. Now I read you again. Luke 10, verse 25 quoted. Now that is a big question. Verse 27 quoted. With all thy heart. Not with two-thirds of it, and give one-third to the devil. Verses 27 to 31 quoted. How much of that is seen at the present time? Verses 32 to 37 quoted. Now why do we have this institution? Why are we establishing these institutions away from the towns and the turmoil and confusion? Why is it that we are establishing these sanitariums? It is that we may act the Samaritan, that we may call the people of suffering humanity and find a place for them, and what then? Shall we let them go on without any particular sympathy, merely performing the works? No, indeed. God wants us to consider that we are the representatives of the great physician who never lost a case. God wants us to bear in mind that these subjects are suffering because they have not obeyed the law of God. Shall we hide our faith and think we will get a bigger patronage? Shall we pretend before them that we are not Seventh-day Adventists? No, it is a recommendation. Why? Because we are obeying God, and what then? We are partakers of the divine nature, for we are acting the Good Samaritan. That is what we are doing to relieve suffering humanity. We must do everything in our power to brace against what? Satanic agencies. Now Jesus Christ, how was it with Him? He came to our world. Let me give you the reason. John 3, verse 16 quoted. Now, Satan concluded that he could work better than Jesus Christ and God. There he was an exalted angel in the heavenly courts, and he was working in an underhanded way in every deception possible, that he might obtain advantage. There were two powers, and finally, the satanic agencies had to be shut out of heaven. And here they are on the earth. These two parties are in this world. Now the question is, which side are we on? Jesus Christ clothed His divinity with humanity, that humanity might reach humanity, and that His humanity, coming as a little child, was coming up every day. He might have taken legions of angels with Him, but He would sympathize with men, and He came in poverty, and you know that He was rejected of the priests and rulers, because they expected a great king to take the throne and to rule forever and ever, and break the powers that were ruling then. Well, when He did not come as king, then they were disappointed. But He came just as God and Christ had made the plan that He should come to save humanity. Then here humanity has the greatest sympathy from Christ Jesus. He went around everywhere carrying the gospel from place to place, and when He ordained His disciples, He said to them, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Be ye wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. You are to represent the divinity and the mercy and the compassion of God. And every one of us has a work to do, whatever our position, whatever we have. If we enter heaven, we will be co-laborers with Jesus Christ. If you will enter heaven, you will not be looking at this one and that one and the other one, and finding fault with them and complaining of them. Lift the standard in your own house, in your own heart, and in doing this work, you shut the door against the enemy.
I can touch only upon a few points, but God wants us to come into harmony. All heaven is looking upon us, and every word that shall be said, and every action that shall be done, it will be recorded. Christ came, the great physician, and he is in every sanitarium that is established, that is trying to serve God, and that will bear the standard of righteousness. He is with every converted physician who is taking hold of the work, and as the instruments are used, as it has been presented to me, one hair's breadth would sacrifice a life. Christ is there. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. Then we have our Redeemer who is working with us to harmonize the house, that the Spirit of God could be blended in every house, and He wants us to come into order. Oh, when we can think of the compassion that is represented by that Samaritan, what he did. Go thou, and do likewise, Jesus says. Luke 10, verse 37. There is a work for us to do. They had no sanitariums then. They had to take the sick right where they were, and Christ was with them, the great healer, and His healing power was felt everywhere. And He would take them, and He would heal them, and they would testify of Christ. There He healed them on the Sabbath day. Yes, you can have your sanitariums on the Sabbath day, but not go into all the work that is unnecessary to be done, but do those kinds of work which would relieve the sufferings of humanity. And when He came to a poor suffering man who could not get to the pool, He stands right over him, and He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Can you tell how that man felt that had been so many years trying to get relief and could not get any? Jesus Christ bids him be whole. Take up your blanket and go to your home. Well, the righteous priests would not do any such thing. There he was suffering for years. It is on the Sabbath day. John 5, verse 8, 10. Now all such words as those he shows us, what should we know without his example? He tells us there are cases of necessity, and he has come to show us in his experience and example what to do for suffering humanity. We know that these institutions have been ordained of God, and we want every soul that has any connection with this institution to feel that Christ Jesus is standing right by the side of the afflicted ones. They want words spoken to them. They want words of encouragement, knowing that you are a partaker of the divine nature. Christ took humanity that we might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now if we take hold of the work, just where we see people need help and strength, and we encourage them, I am glad that we have this institution on the hillside. My husband and myself, and some of the friends here in St. Helena, selected this spot. My husband has been dead for 25 years, and I stand in the battle with my sons to help me. But let me tell you that my heart is in these institutions, to see that the work is carried along religiously, that the commandments of God are not sunk under a mass of rubbish, so that they do not come right to the front, and that we can understand what the principles are. I am so glad that we have them in the various places. Now, I am not going to say anything more of this point. I have given you just a little touch of what God expects of us. Now, in a little while, we expect, if we keep the commandments of God, that we shall have a place with the redeemed in the kingdom of God. That is what we want to teach everybody how to obtain, that closeness with Christ, so that they will be translated to the heavenly courts, and have life, eternal life, in the kingdom of glory. Who has had the highest education? It is those that have been obedient to all of God's commandments.